to this week's assist, and it's a warm welcome to 2025 as well. Our first show of the new year. I'm Warren Ashurst, and alongside me this week again are Mark Langdon and Dan Childs. And we're going to focus firstly on the FA Cup, because it is, of course, third round weekend. And we're going to discuss the outright bets to start off with in terms of who the favourites are to lift the trophy this year, with Manchester City 7-2 in the betting, Liverpool around 5-1. It's 7-1 Arsenal and Chelsea, Spurs are 10-1, Newcastle 12-1, Manchester United 14s, Villa 16s, and bigger the rest. Mark, we'll start with you in terms of best bets then for this one. I mean, all the expected names you'd say at the top of the list, but I have to say, I think it's probably a bit more wide open than maybe it has been recently.
Yeah, I think so, Warren. If you sort of have a look at the Premier League this season, Liverpool have done fantastically well to get in the position they have, and only lost the one game to Nottingham Forest. But everybody else has suffered, I'd say, quite a few sort of surprising results. And if they're not sort of losing the game, they're certainly not winning them. Even Arsenal, in recent weeks have drawn quite a few games, haven't they, that they would probably have expected to have won. Man City have had their problems. Chelsea have slipped up as well in recent weeks. You've got Tottenham and Manchester United sort of nowhere near it as well. So I definitely think that there is a wide open nature to the competition. Also wonder as well, with so few teams involved in the relegation scrap this season, it should mean that a number of those kind of teams that I always feel like they should have a go in the FA Cup, but sometimes don't. Likes of Crystal Palace would be one that's, I don't think they're going to get relegated. So why not have a go at the FA Cup at Fulham, who've got Watford on Thursday night? The one I landed on was Bournemouth, because I actually think they're just a really good side. I mean, if you have a look at sort of their XG this season, XG goal difference, they're third in the league behind Liverpool and Arsenal. They've beaten a number of big teams at home, most notably Man City and Arsenal. They gave Chelsea a really good game. They beat Spurs as well. And, I think most teams struggle when they go to the Vitality. So their squad's getting better all the time. I mean, Iriola surely will give it a good go. I think it as well for his own kind of CV, really, because his time he's run quite well, I would say, for if a bigger job were to become available maybe in the summer, I think his name would be in the mix, and a good cup run would just sort of cement that position. The one position where they have got problems at the moment is up front. Ivan Ilsson's out for a while, and Unal has done his cruciate. So that would be one sort of slight concern, but they've been linked with a number of strikers, and I think the injuries have happened early enough in the January transfer window for them to sort that out by the end of the month, so that they're in a position to be competitive. A lot of good players. And the one thing I like about Bournemouth is they don't seem to rely on sort of just one player, if you know what I mean, because they've had injuries this season and they've had disruption. And I just see players coming in and out of the team without a real big dip in performance. Solid all over the pitch. Good manager. Might give you a run for your money. But there are other teams that I'd also label as dark horses, but there'd certainly be one.
And Dan, we've said the nature of the Premier League this year suggests that maybe we might get a surprise winner, or certainly surprise teams that sort of go deep in the competition.
Yeah, I've just got a feeling that the Premier League's getting more and more competitive, actually. I don't think there's as much of a difference between, the sort of mid-ranking teams that you'd have considered mid-ranking before and the really big clubs. I think they're catching up, to be honest, and that should affect your FA Cup picks and betting as well. I would also mention with these bigger clubs, with the expansion of Europe this year, eight games for the teams, in the group phase of the Europa League and the Champions League, and a lot of these teams that are not going to finish in the top eight are going to have another couple of games to play in the knockouts as well. That's sort of piling on a lot of extra games for them, and that could affect the chances, of FA Cup progress. So I'm going to look as well, outside of those big obvious teams, still a big team I'm going to go for as my pick for the FA Cup. I'm going to go with Newcastle, but without any European football, we've seen how they've approached the EFL Cup. I mean, way before this semi-final against Arsenal, the teams they were putting out at home to Chelsea, at home to Brentford, they're really going, I think, for the domestic cups this season, Newcastle, as well as obviously pushing for that top five finish in the Premier League. And they're hitting some form as well, you know, in general at the moment. So 12-1 to me looked a big price. Got a nice starter as well at home to Bromley, you know, to you would think to get them, ease them into the competition. The dark horse I would look at, there's quite a few I'd be interested in, but I would look at Fulham playing at home to Watford, who are out of form at the moment. The goalkeeper's got the first choice keeper, Dan Backman's got a long term injury. Jonathan Bond's probably coming as his replacement, you know, in the game at Fulham. I'm not so sure about Watford's chances there, and I think Fulham could get off to a strong start. And you know, they're 8 games unbeaten in the Premier League. We've seen all season how they can trouble the very big teams. So you know, why can't they go and have a run? I think 40-1 is their price. That one team I would also throw in, even from outside the Premier League, Sunderland at 150-1, young side getting better all the time. The likes of Chris Rigg and Joe Bellingham are just improving rapidly. And they haven't lost a home game in the Championship. I just feel that, you know, if they've got a bit of luck with a draw, they've got a start at home to Stoke that I fancy them to get through, I could see them maybe having a run.
Sunderland v Newcastle final, Dad. Is that what you're
Oh, that would be one to savour for those in the North East, for definite. Touching upon what Dan's mentioned there, of course, we've got a few all Premier League ties, of course, where Premier League sides could get or will get knocked out of the competition, and will head to our big match of the weekend, because undoubtedly Arsenal against Manchester United on Sunday afternoon is the biggest tie of the round. Arsenal are around about 7-10 to claim the victory. It's 5-2 the draw and 4-1 Manchester United. Mark, let's start off with Arsenal first, and with that League Cup clash with Newcastle on Tuesday. We've all said that Bukayo Saka is such a key player to Arsenal. We said this about Odegaard as well, and it seems like you take one piece of the cog out and they don't look the same side, maybe.
I mean, well, I think there's two things. One, I would agree with that. You know, you just miss your best players, and you know, if Liverpool without Salah, they've got good options, but just not the same. And Arsenal, which is not the same without Saka. Against Newcastle, though, I mean, they created an XG of, was it about 3.4? So it wasn't really that they lacked creativity, that they just didn't put the chances away and were then punished by Newcastle's quality. I do wonder how much damage that result will have done to Arsenal. There was a real sort of negative response, I would say, from the Arsenal supporters. They were really disappointed with losing that game. And I'm not sure if this is an ideal match they've got now coming up against Manchester United. They've got Tottenham on Wednesday, Arsenal, and you know, Arteta went strong in the game against Newcastle. You almost feel like you're better off. If Arteta would have got knocked out in the third round of the League Cup, no Arsenal fan would have really cared. They sort of put enough effort in to reach the semi-final, and then you get turned over, you know, with most of your big guns sort of out there on the pitch against Newcastle. There's still a second leg to come, but they've got it all to do at St James's Park. So, yeah, they missed Saka. I don't think that was the reason that they lost the game, though, against Newcastle. They didn't take their chances. Maybe Saka would have taken one of those, I suppose, but I don't think it was just his absence. And, this is a really interesting game coming up. I'm sure Dan will sort of get to Manchester United. But when we were talking about dark horses for the FA Cup, I did look at Manchester United to win it, because they've got Arsenal away. I think you can get about 22-1 on Manchester United. And their performance against Liverpool, just sort of a little reminder that despite the fact that they can be absolutely hopeless at times, they have won a trophy in each of the last 2 years, and they are capable of raising their games for these really big, you know, really big matches.
Yeah, we'll look at United in more detail in a moment. But Dan, just a quick word on Arsenal. And you know, we had this last season around a similar time where people were saying they desperately need a striker, they need to bring somebody in up front who's a recognised goal scorer, and it seems like a bit of deja vu as we're into January again now.
Yeah, and this, I don't think this is just a Saka situation. I do think that there's been a hell of a lot of focus there on the set pieces, and they've been rightly praised for it, but They actually did create some good chances from open play against Newcastle in the week, but in general, that seems to have been, you know, that free-flowing football that Arsenal have been, you know, a reputation for over the last few seasons, that doesn't seem to have been there for, you know, quite a bit of the season, really. And yeah, the mood did look, you know, quite down after the Newcastle defeat, and understandably so. And they got a hell of a task to turn that around at a tough ground. And I just think that, you know, they're in danger here of, I mean, not being knocked out of two cups in a few days because you've still got the second leg at Newcastle. But I think they're vulnerable in this game. And the other side of that, one thing I've mentioned about Manchester United, the fact that we're even calling them dark horses is an idea of how far they've fallen. But the Liverpool game, Liverpool got, you know, a bit of criticism for their performance. I was impressed with United. I thought the balance was a lot better with Kobbie Mainoo and Ugarte in that midfield. There was a lot more legs in there. They looked, you know, quite a solid outfit, and were causing a threat on the break. I mean, Arsenal's defence is probably going to be a little bit more solid and harder to get out than Liverpool's was with Trent Alexander-Arnold there on the right of the defence. But I do see them causing Arsenal problems, and I think it'll be a tight game.
You mentioned how you were impressed as well, Mark, with United at Anfield. Is there a case to be made that they tend to raise their game for the bigger tests? I mean, obviously winning at City in the Manchester derby as well was another indication of that.
Yeah, I think after the game, Amorim and Bruno Fernandes, I think Lisandro Martins as well, they were all actually saying, you know, it was disappointing. In some ways, they were angry because, you know, where was this kind of performance? And, compactness, energy, just everything really that we've moaned about or sort of laughed at, depending on your thoughts on Manchester United's demise. But all of the things that are picked out as flaws in their game, they just look competent, didn't they, at Anfield, and sort of actually look like what they should be given their wage bill, which is a very strong Premier League side. So I think they have now put down a marker for what, the Amorim United looks like. The key question is whether they can back that up, because, as you said there, Warren, they're capable of doing it every now and then. But a team like Manchester United should be doing that, you know, most weeks. I mean, I don't think you're asking too much for them to be organised, to be energetic. Mainoo fascinates me because I saw in the Telegraph this week that he's been linked with a move to Chelsea. Guardian had it as well, that he's not an untouchable at United, and they were considering selling him for PSR. And I just think it'd be absolutely bonkers Manchester United to get rid of someone like Mainoo. And he's been underused this season. I don't know if maybe he struggled slightly, coming back from the Euros late. It was, he's come a long way in a short period of time. But I thought this was going to be the season where he came on and sort of dominated the Premier League. He hasn't done that so far, but the ability is absolutely obvious to anyone that sort of, watched him play well previously. And I don't see why there should be an issue with consistency as we go on. So, I mean, if United want to have any real sort of hope of being a successful and consistent side in the future, I mean, I would have thought Mainoo was be one of the absolute mainstays. He'd been untouchable for me in that United side.
No, I agree. And I think they're going to have some big decisions to make over January in terms of who goes and who stays. I mean, I think we're getting, before that Liverpool game, Dan, we're probably getting to that stage where the United fans were maybe starting to wonder whether this was another bad appointment in terms of a manager from there. But Ruben Amorim has shown in patches already, not only just sort of with what he's done off the pitch and sort of setting standards at a high level, but also now on the pitch tactically as well, that they may well have found the solution in the long term.
Yeah, and every manager, obviously you can have some impacts and improve the tactical side and maybe the motivation of some of the players. But essentially, most managers, you're only as good as the players that you inherit, and he's probably not inherited a strong enough squad or even first 11 to compete at the anywhere near the top of the Premier League. So, he's got to be given a chance, hasn't he, to at least, reshape the squad and bring in, players more to his liking and that suit his system. And, you know, we'll wait and see on that. But every chance he could be the answer if the recruitment is right at United, which has obviously been a major issue for them for many years. That's a key for them to get right.
Well, let's look at the best bets then. By what you've both said here, 4-1 for Manchester United, Mark, seems like quite a big price for this cup tie.
Yeah, well, I'm going for Man United to draw, double chance. So for them not to lose at least in 90 minutes at the Emirates. I thought they were very good at Anfield. There are other things at play here as well. Arsenal had a demoralising game in midweek. They've got a North London derby on Wednesday against Tottenham. That has to be the priority. I wonder how strong, actually, Arsenal will go. Arteta must be tempted to rotate at least somewhat. And Amorim had a 3 week to prepare. And maybe that's the difference, because it was the first time, I think, since he arrived at the job, that he'd actually had a free midweek, and they were able to come up with a tactical plan to nullify Liverpool and then sort of give themselves the best chance to win the game as well by playing some very good football in the attacking third. So, I think sort of circumstances dictate here that Arsenal are vulnerable as odds-on favourites.
And Dan, your thoughts, your best bet?
I've got a similar train of thought. I'm going to go going to go with a slightly bigger price for the draw. So match to go into extra time. I think it'll be a very tight affair. One thing we haven't mentioned from Arsenal's point of view is whether they'll be happy with the different type of balls. That were the balls are obviously were seen to be an issue in the Newcastle game, according to the manager. But I think United, we spoke about, can they sustain that performance at Liverpool? I think for the moment they can, and the main reason is that midfield. Ugarte, I think, took a while to settle. Now he looks like he's up to the standard. And you have to think, a lot of games recently, United have gone with either Eriksen or Casemiro in midfield. The drop-off in terms of the legs and energy when one of those goes into that midfield is just massive for me. And with Ugarte and Manu, it just makes them far, far better in that crucial midfield area. I think they're capable of delivering just as good a performance as they did at Liverpool, and I think that'll be enough, certainly, to take the game to extra time.
OK, well, the big match of the week, just to remind you, Arsenal against Manchester United, a 3 o'clock kickoff on Sunday afternoon. We're going to have a look now at some other selected FA Cup third round ties, and we'll start off on Friday evening, another all-Premier League encounter, an 8 p.m. kickoff at Villa Park, where Aston Villa play host to West Ham, with a new manager, of course, at the helm, the Hammers. Villa 4-6, the draw 7-2, and it is 31-10 for West Ham to claim the victory here and progress to the fourth round. Dan, we'll start with you with this one. Probably not a massive surprise that Lopetegui has finished his reign at the London Stadium, and it wasn't a huge surprise that it came this week, bearing in mind that it was the worst kept secret, it would appear, in football recently. But Graham Potter's been given the opportunity. Firstly, Lopetegui going, was that the right decision?
The performances haven't really been there. We mentioned at the start of the season that West Ham had brought in, some players, that there was a lot of excitement, spent quite a bit of money, and there was sort of excitement that they was going to play a new brand of football and certainly be, not have a massive drop-off in terms of the league position. Now, we have seen the drop-off and the performances haven't been that great, and we were kind of expecting them to improve as the season went on, and that hasn't really happened. I know the last two games was against tough opposition, but the manner of those defeats as well, the 5-0 against Liverpool and the 4-1 against Man City, and Man City haven't really been doing that to many other teams recently, have they? So that was probably taken, a lot worse than it normally would have been. Graham Potter as a replacement, he's the bodies of work that he's done. Good, he's had time, hasn't he? He had a lot of time at Östersund and done a brilliant job there. Brighton, he did a good job establishing them as a strong Premier League team and getting the style of play, changing the style of play. They had Chris Hughton, didn't they, before? Very different style of play. It didn't leave them in, they weren't in an unbelievable position. I think they finished bottom half in his last season there, but the worry is the spell at Chelsea where he got 7 months, had 7 months and didn't really look like turning them around. But If West Ham are willing to be patient and he produces, more like the results that he did at Östersund and Brighton, then, they should be moving forward.
Mark, you and Dan said at the start of the season that you expected West Ham to kind of take the next step, but did warn that it would take some time for them to gel everybody in. 6 months he's been given, and I think Dan alluded to it there, though. Some people would say, well, that's maybe not enough time, but the results and the performances recently just haven't been good enough.
No, I don't think it's a bad decision actually. I just didn't I couldn't see what he was trying to do. I There didn't appear to be patterns of play or anything really. I was at a party on Saturday with some West Ham fans. I think it was the worst kept secret that Graham Potter was going to be the next manager, because the I was being told that on Saturday that that was happening. And they were just really upset with performances, and I couldn't see what he was trying to do. And sometimes you can see what a manager's trying to do, and you go, okay, this will take time. If there isn't a real plan in place, then what are you waiting for, really? They just look like 11 players on the pitch trying to all do their own thing. I think they have got some very talented players. Bowen's injured at the moment, but you get Bowen, Paquetá, and Kudos, off of Falkirk, if everybody's fit and available. I think that's a good front four, for a sort of mid-table Premier League side. In terms of Potter, I was really keen on Graham Potter, and the Chelsea job doesn't really put me off that, because I just think it's completely different, really, from what he'll be asked to do at West Ham. And it's not the easiest place to work at Chelsea. The Brighton job, like, at the time, felt like he was doing very well, but they haven't actually done any worse, have they, since they've brought in two different managers since he left. And you just wonder whether Brighton, being such a well-run club, and their recruitment is so spot on, how good does the manager have to be? And so he's working in a very different environment at West Ham, with a sporting director that's under massive pressure because the signings haven't worked out. And there's even been suggestions that he might go as well. So I think this will be a test for Potter, but I certainly don't blame West Ham for getting rid of Lopetegui, and I think that the West Ham supporters will enjoy Graham Potter's style of play more than they will have done the last couple of managers.
Yeah, and I suppose the expectation is going to be a bit more at West Ham than it was when he first joined at Brighton as well, in terms of getting more out of this team. Having said all that, of course, they've got their injury problems at the moment. No Antonio, no Bowen, so a lack of attacking options, Dan. But Villa are not certainly firing on all cylinders either at the minute.
No, but they're strong at home, aren't they? They've only lost, I think, two home games all season. One of them was against Palace in the EFL Cup. So they've only lost one Premier League home game, unbeaten at home in the Champions League. So I think this is a tough tie for West Ham. I'm going to go. I'm reluctant to pile into Villa at odds on, for a couple of reasons. I just think that a couple of the injuries that John McGinn being out is a bit of a blow. Duran, I think, suspended still for this game, and they have got a very busy schedule coming up. So you're just wondering how strong Emery will go with his team. But I do think they'll probably win. Going to go with maybe a tight Villa win. Aston Villa to win by one goal is about 3-1. Looks a good selection to me. I think West Ham, they're going to have to be a bit patient with Graham Potter. I mentioned his previous jobs. It took him quite a while before he got going in those jobs. I'm not sure he's seen as an instant fix manager. I think he's more of a guy for the long term. So I think it'll take a bit of time and coaching and some transfer windows to turn them around. But I don't think there'll be an instant massive improvement. He's had very little time as well this week on the training ground as well to affect this game. So Villa to win a tight game.
Mark, your best bet for this one?
Villa and over 2.5 goals. I mean, if you have a look at West Ham's goal difference, minus 15 for the season. Like, they just don't seem capable of defending. They get ripped apart too often, and they can see goals in clusters. We've seen that in a number of matches this season. They might be in a game, and then all of a sudden it's gone from them. So I think Potter will have to work on that. But as Dan says, he's not really had the time to do that. So I expect Villa to win.
Okay, we'll turn our attentions now to the second of the selected FA Cup ties on our list, and it takes place at Anfield at 12:15. It is the ultimate David versus Goliath battle as Liverpool play host to League Two Accrington Stanley. Liverpool, not surprisingly, massive favourites at 20-1 on to claim the victory. It's 16-1 the draw and 28-1 Accrington Stanley. It's the sort of tie that, the lower league clubs, Mark, absolutely love. This is a great opportunity for Accrington to enjoy a day out. Can they get anything more than that?
No, I don't think. Who are they? I mean, this is the classic one, isn't it? From the milk advert. And yeah, this is the dream tie for Accrington. I'm sure, you know, would have been number one on their list of, you know, what do you want out of the FA Cup third round draw? Liverpool away. And you know, the odds tell you how difficult it is. I'm not expecting Liverpool to put out anything like a strong side, really, because they've got Nottingham Forest on Tuesday, and they've just played a League Cup game on Wednesday when Arne Slot picked a number of the big guns. But they have got, you know, such strength in depth, and you know, you could bring on like Harvey Elliott and players like that we haven't really seen that much of this season. Nunez up front. So I Liverpool should win the game as easy as they like. So it makes betting opportunities really difficult. I assume that Trent Alexander-Arnold would start on Tuesday, so that would mean Conor Bradley getting another go at right back. He's 18-1, first goal scorer, gets forward a lot. Nearly got a goal, didn't he, against Man United, and Arna just saved it at his near post. Attacking right back, pops up with quite a few goals for Northern Ireland, got four goals for them recently. So I'm not saying he'll sort of suddenly become a 5-6 goal a season man for Liverpool, but I certainly think he's capable of chipping in, and you know, in a game where there's not many betting opportunities, I think I'd rather take a flyer on something at a massive price.
Quite a few of our audience, Dan, probably won't have seen much of Accrington Stanley this season. I mean, in terms of what they can offer or what they're likely to try and do, what's your thoughts?
Well, they've been struggling, haven't they, in League Two this season. Had a bit of an upturn recently, beat Grimsby 3-2. At home, Colchester 2-0 away. That was a good result because Colchester have been in a very good run of form. But, I mean, the class gap, you know, from Accrington to Liverpool is just absolutely massive. And you'd expect Liverpool to put out not even maybe a second string, but like a second stroke, third string and still be, you know, a fair bit too strong. I just think it'll be damage limitation. The manager, the interest in the Accrington manager, John Doolan, is an Everton fan. The assistant, Jeb Brannan, is a Liverpool fan. So it's a huge game as well for both of them. And they won't want to be embarrassed. I think they'll want to, you know, at least give a decent account of themselves. But I just see a comfortable Liverpool win. To find a bet, I think they're going to be looking to get minutes into players that have not been regulars recently. So I think Darwin Núñez is almost certain to start. Diogo Jota, although he started against Spurs, I think he'll probably want to get more minutes into him as well. I was looking at those two. Diogo Jota, only a shade of odds on to score any time. I mean, against such a, you know, difference in class, such a weak opponent, I think that's a reasonable bet. So I'll go Diogo Jota to score any time.
OK, well, that is Liverpool against Accrington Stanley on 12:15 on Saturday. And we didn't mention the word exactly throughout the whole of that preview, which is some achievement from the guys. 5:45 on Saturday is another massive game in terms of David versus Goliath. Potential FA Cup banana skin. Manchester City at home to Salford of League Two. City 20-1 on to claim the victory. It is 14-1 the draw and 22-1 Salford. Dan, we'll start with you with this one. Salford in a decent run of form in League Two at the moment and probably full of confidence going to the Etihad.
Yeah, I think this could be a bit closer actually than the Liverpool Accrington one. I mean, I don't know if I need to have my head tested, but I just think City at the moment they've still got some injuries around the squad. You've got a big busy schedule coming up. Got to be mindful of the fact that with the Champions League games as well to come, that they're going to be important to them as well. So there's loads of games coming up for City, and it depends. You know, if they're making lots and lots and lots of changes, you can imagine quite a few youngsters being used. And I just think that they might encounter a few problems against a side that they are, you know, they're obviously a much lower level, but they're seriously good defensively. I mean, they've had six straight wins in League Two, all with clean sheets. Carl Robinson has got them extremely well organised. They do carry a counter-attacking threat as well, got some pace going forward. And I just wouldn't be surprised if it was a bit of a frustrating experience and like a 2-0 or a 3-1 kind of scoreline. Mm-hmm. So that's going to follow on to my recommendation. I'm going to go for a bit of value. Man City to win by a two-goal margin at nearly 4-1, 15-4. That's the way I'll play it.
There's nothing Gary Neville would love more, Mark, than for Salford to knock Manchester City out of the FA Cup. I can't imagine it's probably going to happen, but as Dan's alluded to there, you know, they could give them a bit of a run.
Yeah, you can't shut Neville up at the best of times, can you? So, I mean, goodness me. He's got an opinion on everything. That was what Jurgen Klopp said about him, wasn't it? When he was, I don't know, talking about politics or something. I think in terms of this game, had it been at Salford, it might have been sort of more interesting for the TV viewers, although a sort of worse experience for Salford. And that's the problem with like Liverpool playing Accrington at home as well. Just the games are going to be on TV because they have to be. But Dan sort of highlighted there that Salford are playing well and City are not, but there is still such a drop off. The way I was looking to play this one was another first goal scorer bet. Jack Grealish come under a lot of fire, in recent months and recent weeks. I mean, Guardiola, just said, didn't he? Well, he's not playing well enough. He called him out essentially last week, and he hasn't scored in over a year now for Manchester City, which is remarkable for somebody of his talent. How much he costs and everything like that, the amount of games that City dominate. I just see him being absolutely desperate to sort of end that run of not scoring. He's still a quality performer. I think he'll be fired up by what's been said. And he might be able to oblige. I'd go each way because I think there'll be a few goals in this game. So, 9-1 each way for Jack Grealish.
Okay, well, let's move on to Sunday now. And the standout fixture is at 12:30. And it sees National League Tamworth up against Premier League at Tottenham. As two Spurs fans, starting with you, Mark, how did you feel when that draw was made? Was it a case of, oh, well, it should be fourth round, or are you fearing the worst?
Oh, no, I was thinking, yes, in the fourth round. And then I looked and saw Liverpool had Accrington, Man City had Salford. Well, what's the point here? It's a 3G pitch, which I didn't realise at the time of the draw, which maybe makes things more difficult for Spurs. They've got Arsenal on Wednesday, and they've just played a really taxing game against Liverpool where they've won 1-0 and played really well, best performance in a while, and the players were absolutely exhausted after the game. I was at the match, and Solanke just collapsed to the floor at full time. I think Bissouma was blowing as well, and a few others. So I think it will be a much changed Tottenham team. I think it will be a Spurs side, given they've got a lot of injuries at the moment, could have some players that maybe, unless you support Spurs, you wouldn't know much about. Likes of Dorrington probably play at centre-half. You might get another little glimpse of Mikey Moore, who was on the bench. Yang, the new South Korean winger that's come in, he could play as well. But Sarr and Maddison were two players that didn't play. Would expect them to come back into the team, and there is, we've said it a few times already, but there is such a gulf between Premier League sides, and then this is not even a League Two team, we're talking about a National League side here. So I'm going for Tottenham to win and over 3.5 goals, because I still think Spurs have, because of the amount of injuries they've got, like if it ends up being like Werner, Mikey Moore, they might have to even play one of their other kind of big hitters, then they should have more than enough going forward with Maddison creating things. But you don't trust Tottenham to keep too many clean sheets, even if the best players are playing. They did keep one against Liverpool, but I think it'll be much changed at the back for them. So, Tamworth are not without a chance of scoring in this game.
Yeah, we saw from the cup tie with Huddersfield earlier on in the tournament, Dan, that they have a long throw master, and that caused the Terriers some problems as they were knocked out. I'm wondering whether we could see Tottenham having to defend quite a few long throws over the course of Sunday.
Definitely. And I'm not so sure they'll have the capability to defend them that well as well. And that Huddersfield game that you mentioned, Michael Duff, the Huddersfield manager, I know it's a League One side, but a team near the top of League One now. They weren't going so well at the time, but he said that Tamworth were deserving winners of that game. So they've also knocked out another League One team, went to Burton and got through. So they've done some, they've shown they can beat teams at two levels above. Certainly don't think they'll have enough to beat Spurs, but I can see them, as Mark just mentioned, I can see them scoring a goal. That I think there'll be a few debuts possibly even in this Spurs team, at Tamworth. You know, up front, I mean, Will Lancashire, I think, could be another one that, that comes in and gets some more minutes. And certainly Dorrington, I think, will be used at the back. So they're going to have to protect what they have defensively, which isn't a great deal at the moment, you know, for the Arsenal game. I think what Spurs will do, they'll bench. I think they'll keep a load of these big players on the bench so that if it does get, you know, a little bit hairy, they'll bring some of the big hitters on. But I doubt if it will get that tight, but I think there'll be lots of goals. Tamworth can get one of them. So my bet, Tottenham to win and both teams to score.
OK, and we're going to round up our selected FA Cup third round ties with Monday evening's game at the New Den, where Millwall play host to Dagenham and Redbridge. Millwall are 3-10, the draw 4-1, and Dagenham and Redbridge 9-1. Dan, we'll start with you with this one. Is this a possible banana skin for Millwall?
Not sure, really. No, I mean, we've just been talking about, you know, the Man City against Salford games and Liverpool and Accrington. Well, the gap in divisions between these two is the same. It's a four division gap, you know, the Championship to the National League. So, you know, I just think Millwall are going to be, you know, way too strong. Got Alex Neil's gone in there as a manager, got off to you know, a decent start, didn't he, with a away draw last Saturday. And at home, they don't concede many goals today. They're not the sort of team that are going to lose focus, Millwall, as well. The crowd there will, you know, certainly make sure of that. And Dagenham and Redbridge, I watched actually a bit of their game at AFC Wimbledon away when they, Junior Morias scored a great goal for them in a 2-1 win, and that was a good performance for them. They also won at Crewe as well, so they've beaten two League Two sides, but League Two to the Championship, big difference. I just think Millwall are going to win this without conceding a goal, so I'm going to go Millwall win to nil is odds against. That looks a bet to me.
Alex Neil was an interesting appointment, Mark, for Millwall. I mean, he was, you know, sort of high ranking at one stage, bearing in mind that he had Norwich in the Premier League, and then he kind of has jumped from job to job and then had a bit of time out of the game. I wonder whether he might be able to get them going in the right direction.
Yeah, it was a surprise to me that he was Millwall manager when they played Oxford over Christmas in New Year, didn't they? And I was watching it, I think, was it the Red Button game? I can't remember why I was watching Millwall against Oxford over Christmas. And Alex Neil was the manager. I think that was his sort of, he'd only just gone in there and sort of they lost that game 1-0. Were unfortunate, I think, to lose the game. You know, they underperformed on XG for most of the season. He had longer to work with the players, as Dan was saying, in that draw at Sheffield Wednesday. I think he's a decent Championship manager. I don't think the Millwall fans will, you know, be having open top bus parades that he's in there. But I'm not quite sure sort of what Millwall kind of expect to be, really. I mean, I think Championship should be their limit. You know, unless they get major investment, it could be a feisty game because there's a lot of West Ham fans that live or would be associated with Dagenham sort of previously. So I would imagine that there'll be quite a lot of Hammers fans in that away end, and Millwall v West Ham can get quite tasty. So that could be one to watch out for. But in terms of this game, I'm going for Millwall to win and under 3.5 goals. Pretty similar sort of thought process to Dan. And I expect Millwall to win, but they rarely sort of do it in a slick and, you know, ultra sort of attacking way.
OK, well, that is all the selected FA Cup feature matches from us. Up next, it's Dan Charles' best bets in the FA Cup and EFL.
Do you want football free bets? All the best offers from your favourite bookmakers can be found in one place. Check out racingpost.com/free-bets to find out more. Racing Post, stay ahead of the field.
Well, we'll start off with the match in focus this week, and it's a big game in terms of League One. It's 12:30 on Saturday, Rotherham against Bolton. I'll run you through the prices in a moment, but well, first off, Dan, I think this is probably fair to say that the Bolton manager, Ian Everett, has kind of been on the edge for a precipice for a little bit now in terms of whether he'll keep his job or not. And this may well have a big significant factor on that.
Yeah, I think with Ian Everett, in a way, he's a little bit of kind of victim of his success that he's had there over the years. I mean, he's actually done a pretty good job with the club over a period of years, but I think there is now an expectation that they're certainly this season that they're going to push for automatic promotion, and the fact that they're 10th at the moment and, you know, not even looking like, you know, perhaps getting into the playoffs, there is a lot of discontent I've been noticing among Bolton fans. I think he started the season with a change of system, then he's gone back to his back three that served him well last season. That they picked up some results initially after he did that, but then the inconsistencies have returned. Defensively, they've just not been good enough. 34 goals conceded. That's the worst among the top 14 in the division. They're 10th at the moment, Bolton. And I think this is another tough game for them. Rotherham have been underperforming as well. They came down from the Championship, were expected to really push for promotion. They're 16th at the moment under Steve Evans. But they have had a little bit of a recent improvement. 1-1 draw at home to Stockport, high flying up, you know, not far off outside the playoffs. 1-1-0 at Lincoln, drew 0-0 at Huddersfield, which is a very good result last weekend. So it's just a few signs of improvement from Rotherham. Their squad's been getting healthier. A few players are off the treatment table. And I just think there'll be a quite a direct style. They'll really put it on Bolton. And that Bolton defence, I'm not sure will cope that well. So I'm going to go Rotherham to win a close game. Rotherham draw no bet at a shade of odds on.
Rotherham are 31-20 to claim the victory. It's the same price for Bolton and the draw 12-5. And having seen Bolton a couple of times recently, I can kind of understand where Dan's coming from in terms of that selection, because I don't think they've been anywhere near their best of late. Dan, we're going to turn our attentions now to your EFL and FA Cup selections. You'll give us normally three picks over the games over the weekend. What are we going to start with?
FA Cup, I'm going to go with a shock here. I'm going to go with Norwich 5-1 at home to Brighton. I think one thing that's not really been mentioned at the moment is that this FA Cup, the fact that the time that it's come the third round, you've got a full Premier League programme next midweek. Yeah. Now, the Championship, apart from there's a couple of teams that have had rearranged fixtures, but the vast majority of Championship teams, including Norwich, are not playing until the following weekend. So there is a chance. There's quite a few Championship against Premier League ties, and I think that's going to favour, give these Championship sides a better chance of putting a stronger team out because they haven't got a game until the following weekend. The Premier League teams, I think, are going to make more changes, and that could affect the games. I think Norwich as well in general are just a strong team at home. They have turned their form around recently as well, got 10 points from their last four games. You've got Borja Sainz, you know, been scoring lots and lots of goals. And gone off the ball a little bit recently, but they do carry a threat to Norwich. And Brighton have been struggling to win games, haven't they? A lot of draws, but no winning eight. You know, tricky game away to, like I say, a decent Championship side that are in form and strong at home. I just think the prices, 5-1, look good for me. You know, well worth taking for Norwich. It got moving into the other two bets, going to be a couple of EFL ones, both in League Two. Going to go with Notts County in League Two to win away to Grimsby. Notts County pushing for promotion. Four wins in their last five, including a very good away wins, 2-0 away to MK Dons, 5-3 away to Cheltenham, who have been going well recently. Their three attacking players are as good as anything in the division. McGoldrick, Jatta and Crowley, who plays in behind, are very, very good for the level. And I just think they're going to have too much for Grimsby. We're on the slide at the moment. They tend to either win or lose. I think only one draw this season, but they've been losing recently. 3-2 away to Accrington and 3-1 away to Bradford. We're poor in both games. So we're going to go Notts County odds against to win that one. Sticking in League Two, going to go with Swindon, who are improving under Ian Holloway, to win at home to Crewe. Now, this is 22nd against second, but League Two, apart from Walsall, are well clear, is a tight division. There isn't a great deal between the top and the bottom. And Swindon under Holloway, they've won three home games in a row. He's really turning them around. The last home win of those was 3-2 against Colchester, who were 11 undefeated going into that game. So he's turning them around. Crewe having a good season, but only one win in seven away from home. So this is a tough away game for them. Swindon at 17-10 looks overpriced.
Okay, so just a reminder, Dan's three selections this week. Norwich in the FA Cup to cause an upset, and in League Two, Notts County and Swindon. We'll turn our attentions now to Mark and his Bet Builder. Okay, Mark, which fixture are we looking at then for this week's Bet Builder?
Yeah, I think there's only one place to go, really, Warren. That is to the Emirates. So Arsenal against Manchester United. There's a lot of unglamorous sort of FA Cup ties from a betting point of view. I think this is at least one the punters can get their teeth stuck into, and I think there might be an upset. We haven't spoken yet, have we, about the fact that these ties are decided on the day. FA Cup replays you know, it's been in the news previously, but it's worth a reminder that FA Cup replays are a thing of the past. So it'll be decided on the day. And I think Manchester United to qualify is the way I'm looking. I think Arsenal put out a strong side in midweek. And as the game wears on, they've probably got more to lose in the fact that they've got Spurs on Wednesday. And, you know, Arteta definitely is not going to want all of these big guns to be out there for 120 minutes. So whether... If they don't start, then United have got a good chance of sort of being able to capitalise on the building blocks that were put in place at Anfield. And if they do start, I'm not sure they'll be able to sort of keep on for the whole game. So I think United, as that match wears on, could become bigger and bigger players in the tie. I expect it to be reasonably tight. Arsenal very good defensively, but. Scoring goals has been a problem for them at times. And so I'm going for under 3.5 goals in the game. They did win the league match against Manchester United. That was set piece again. Ole ole, as the Arsenal fans sing quite often. But from open play, that there's been some issues. And I think Bruno Fernandes have a shot on target as well. Taking a lot of responsibility at the moment. I enjoyed his performance at Anfield last week. Thought he played really well, and he's somebody that does take responsibility and likes to have shots. So that's about a 6-1 poke.
Okay, so that's Mark's bet builder, and he always, of course, gives us a prop shop selection as well. And I assume this is from the FA Cup as well, Mark.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so going for Darwin Nunez to have over 1.5 shots on target, 10-11 against Accrington. Fully expect him to start. He was only on the bench against Tottenham on Wednesday, and when he came on, he was a massive threat, had 3 shots on target in about half an hour. And now he's playing at home to a team in League Two. And he's desperate to prove his worth, isn't he? I mean, there's talk of him maybe being allowed to leave in January. I think that would be a mistake from Liverpool. He might not suit sort of Slot's style of play necessarily, because he's more about control and Nunez is the ultimate chaos character. But he still shows no signs of a dip in confidence. And yeah, I thought that I was expecting the line to be probably sort of over under 2.5 shots on target. I suppose there's a chance that he won't sort of play the full 90 minutes and Slot might rotate people around. But if there's one of those forwards that's going to get the full 90, it will be him, because I don't expect him to start on sort of Tuesday against Nottingham Forest.
Okay, well, that's Mark's suggestions then for the bet builder and the prop shop. We're going to move on now to the assist treble, where each of us will pick our selection for the weekend. And Dan, we'll start with your choice.
Yeah, going to go with All League One FA Cup side, Birmingham at home to Lincoln, 8-13. I mean, Birmingham may well play their reserves in this game, but their squad is so strong that their reserves, I think, would beat the vast majority of League One teams anyway. I mean, you look at the gap between the teams. Birmingham are top now in League One. They're 21 points above Lincoln, and they've played 2 games less as well. And Lincoln are out of form at the moment as well. Only won 1 league game since October. I mean, not even scored in their last 4 matches, Lincoln. So I think Lincoln will probably go with closer to a first-choice team, but I'm not sure it'll help them. I think Birmingham will win comfortably.
And Mark, what's your pick this week?
Yeah, not sort of digging one out at a massive price. I just thought Crystal Palace were sort of on the sort of, if you're doing a home list, then Crystal Palace to beat Stockport was one to home in on. Louis Barry, such an important player for Stockport, was recalled by Aston Villa, presumably to play at a higher level, out on loan somewhere. And I think it's one of the kind of biggest transfers really in January, just in terms of the impact that's going to have on Stockport. He carried the massive goal threat, but also the creative force for them. So would have been an uphill task at Selhurst anyway. And it's just got even harder with his recall for Villa.
Well, I'm going to go to League Two, and my pick is for Port Vale to beat Barrow at Vale Park at around about 23-20. Vale are currently 4th on the table. There is a bit of a caveat to this. They've not been in great form of late, but they did get a big win at Doncaster to get them back on track last weekend when they won by 2-1. They've lost only 1 of the last 9 in League Two at home, and that was against the leaders, Walsall. Barrow have now slipped in recent weeks, closer to the relegation places than they are to the playoffs. No win in 4, and they've not won away from home in 9. And I think Port Vale will probably just be too strong on their home patch. So we're going with our selections of Birmingham, Crystal Palace and Port Vale for the assist treble. And all that remains now is for the naps of the weekend from both Dan and Mark. And Dan, we'll start with your nap.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that Notts County away to Grimsby. I think out of the pack of teams in behind Walsall, I think Notts County are the most likely to sort of break out of it and give Walsall a run for their money with those forward players I was talking about, Jatta, McGoldrick, Crowley. I think they're going to be too strong for Grimsby. They're ninth for Grimsby, but their goal difference actually -4, and they've lost 6 of their 12 home games. So I think another home defeat could happen here.
And your nap for this week, Mark?
I'm going to go FA Cup. Portsmouth 6-5 to qualify at Wickham. So not one of the most glamorous of third round ties. But yeah, I'm just not sure about Wickham being, you know, reasonably strong favourites for this game against Pompey. They're in the lower division at the moment. Now, you know, Wickham are flying high in League One and Portsmouth at the bottom end of the Championship. So you could say they'll be swapping positions, but I'm not sure if Wickham are going to sort of carry on for the remainder of the season. Morel, very important player for them. He went back to Bolton, scored a last-minute winner against Exeter last week as well for them. Portsmouth have struggled in the Championship. There's no doubt about that. But I actually think that that might play in their hands here, because I mean, when a team's struggling, you just want to get wins on the board and try to build confidence. And so maybe they won't rotate as much as they would if they were, say, mid-table in the Championship. And I actually watched this game last season when they were both in League One, and Portsmouth were comfortably better than Wickham when they won the game. So, the prices have changed a lot from that day. I think Portsmouth might enjoy a dip in quality in terms of opponents' face. So I'll go for them to qualify.
Okay, well, big thanks to both Mark and Dan for their input again this week. Don't forget to like, subscribe and comment. We'd love to hear your comments on the show as well. And if you like golf, then don't miss the Sweet Spot, of course, every Tuesday with Steve Palmer. We'll be back with another assist next week. Until then, enjoy your football and please remember to gamble responsibly.